do the listen back after I've uploaded it.
Mm-hmm.
We sound great at 1.5 speed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it sounds so much more natural.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Rhyme or free, it doesn't matter to me. It's my bad poetry. Good day, and welcome to My Bad Poetry, a podcast where we take a deep dive into my dabbling with poetry between 2004 and 2008, when I was in high school. Each week we hear a selection read aloud for what may be the first time, and we'll examine it for its historical, philosophical, and literary qualities, always asking, why in the world did I write this? I'm dragging my dear friend Dave along with me on this journey into my old private journal. Dave, thank you.
You're welcome?
Yeah, I mean, we're 8 in and you're still here.
Yeah, I mean, we might have to change like the intro because friend is becoming a more and more relative term.
At the start of this thing, approached Dave with the idea that we could share our collective writings, but Dave came to me with nothing to show for it. So we have to sit through my poetry every single week.
Have you heard of this thing? Recent invention, it's really cool. It's called Fire. And you can take like art projects that you did in elementary school or writing assignments from high school, and you can fire it. It might be set it on fire. That's the word. That's what I did with all of my stuff.
I should have done that, but instead we're doing this.
Let's do it.
Poem number 8 from the Wolf Journal. Dave, this poem today is titled, I don't even know how to read this title. It's the blank. And how I decided to draw the blank is I put the article the is there, and then I just have an underline.
Okay. The blank. I'd prefer the beep, but that works. The redacted.
Ah, the redacted. No one can see the wind, but we feel it. No one can see the air, but we breathe it. No one can see emptiness, but we can fill it. No one can see God, but I believe it.
That's kind of nice.
Really?
I mean, it reminds me of a lot of different poems I've heard before, so what I'm trying to say is very unoriginal. But no, I think there's a lot of nice stuff in there. It is corny, like just real corny.
It does come off very kind of saccharine. Is that the word?
I think you mispronounced terrible, but whatever. We'll allow it.
This comes off apologetic in its nature. A defense of God.
Yeah, I get that.
I mentioned all the way back on our first episode, there is this time in my life when I was much more into kind of the evangelical world, whether I realized it or not. And there's a lot of those like proof of God type texts. What was that big one? Like The Case for Christ, those Lee Strobel books where there were active arguments about like the proof of God.
Right.
And I can feel myself taking a crack at that when writing this poem.
That's a weird way to take it, just because like The Case for Christ is a lot of arguments on faith, and this is a poem.
I get that, but but you can see
I understand.
Yeah. Oh, my poor little sophomore mind.
Oh, man. Sophomore has never been a more apt descriptor.
Yeah.
Soft being wise, you know, sophomoric is a wise fool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, that's pretty good for this. You know, it's the wisdom that we're seeking in high school, which to us feels really like out there and really groundbreaking. But I mean, these are arguments that have existed for literally thousands of years.
Yeah, well trod. It's really pretty flimsy.
Yeah. Well, but that's where we start.
That's where we start. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanna dig into some structure here.
Okay. Yeah.
Because so the title, you left out a very important part of this title.
Okay.
It's the blank period.
Now, I am curious as to what you need to say about that, but that is a printed edition.
Okay.
And the original pencil writing, the period is lacking, but in the document, which I will call the anthology.
Oh my gosh. It feels like you're trying to kill me.
It did have the period. So okay. I put that in there. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, it's just, it's interesting because the period is, you know, it's finality, but it's also the matter of fact. It's not an exclamation point. It's not a emphatic statement. It's just a statement. And so now I'm wondering, like, what that blank is, because you don't have a verb in here. It's not a sentence, but you're using a period as a mark of finality.
Mm.
So it's kind of a break from what I would expect.
Ooh, I surprised you, Dave.
That's not always a good thing, buddy.
But no, I understand, but you engaged in this as if it actually had some, like, merit?
Oh, we've got more, Aaron. Because the title is a whole thing unto itself. So we've got no one, no one, no one, no one. But we, but we, but we, but I.
Yes.
So we all can feel it. We all can breathe it. We all can fill it. But I believe. I like that as a... You're looking at this as you have three different proofs of knowing something that we all know. And then you get to this final proof or this final statement. And it's something that you know. And it kind of goes back to the poem... was it Truth?
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, a little bit of your own self-aggrandizement. I have it, do you? Or I know truth, do you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, this one is less accusatory. This is more where you're at, rather than I'm better than you.
Yeah, we're seeing an evolution in thought here, in that almost a year has passed since Truth.
Sure.
I think. It's much more of like a personal credo statement. Man, we're really dipping back into my first three with Truth and I.
Yeah.
What was the other one I had? Gosh. Life. Oh, yeah, we can skip life.
Life also was written down. Yes, it was also something that happened.
It was a thing. But, I think this shows kind of both of those, the truth and the I, kind of melding together in this one. In that I'm seeking a truth. I'm declaring a truth, and I would argue that blank could actually be filled with the unseen truth. And it's revealed in that credo statement at the end, I believe.
Sure. The unseen truth. Huh. So I want to ask, like, do you remember having an idea for what that blank was at the time?
No, and I wish I did. I mean, the things I'm looking at here, wind, air, emptiness, technically God, depending on how you want to define God, those are the invisible things.
Sure.
And so rather than write the invisible, I think I was demonstrating in invisibleness or unseeable things with this blank space that not even a word could truly describe. It's just, I don't know.
Sure.
That would be my best guess. And maybe I just couldn't come up with the title.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about this now because I think I've got it. So the blank is the sound. It is that unseeable, unknowable, unexaminable, whatever. So I think what you were trying to do, but you didn't have the vocabulary for it, I think this poem should be titled The...
Oh, my soul hurts.
Yes!
You just, like, you, like, trolled me with that.
Yep, 100%. I got way too excited about it. It was real fun for me, and it was good because I saw the softness in your eyes. Like, you were interested as to what I was going to say, and then all of a sudden, air horn! You're welcome, buddy. But I will say, as much as I'm making fun of this one, I kind of like it. There's a lot of poetry that treads on this territory. In what episode did we use? We used a poem from the basement of a cathedral in Cologne.
We used that on I. Episode 3, yep.
There we go. That has the, I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when there's no one there. I believe in God, even when he is silent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, had I not already used that one in episode 3, that would totally be my go-to for this one.
I wonder, once we get to our, like, you know, 25th episode, I think we need to sit down and really figure out how many of your poems retread the same steps and how many of your poems we could use that poem for.
Yeah. Looking ahead, I don't think that one will be the best one to repeat.
Okay, fair enough.
I almost say that this kind of will be a definitive breaking point in my style.
Okay.
And not to give too many spoilers, but the road ahead is it's
very emo.
Oh yeah.
Oh gosh, I was kidding.
No, we hit the emo. We hit the emo hard at the page turn here. So this is a closing to a chapter. I think that truly started back at episode, I mean, with the first poem, Truth.
Sure.
Truth and I. And you know what? I'm going to throw Sing in there too.
Okay.
Sing in Silence. Yes, you were trolling me with your burp 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 party sound. But.
Yeah, of course.
But.
Party sound, you old fuddy duddy.
I mean, you and I have dedicated our lives at this point to preaching. That is our calling, or how we define our vocation at this time. Ooh, a lot of lovely Lutheran words there for you.
There will be a test for all of our vocabulary at the end of this episode.
But you talked about how what maybe I was looking for was a sound because you can't hear it. And not to take myself too seriously with this sophomore poem, but you fill that space with the proclaimed word.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah, so that's the truth. You proclaim the gospel truth, I guess. And I hope this doesn't alienate anyone who's listening to this who doesn't hold that as your belief. It's just the background that Dave and I both share. And so the ways in which we articulate our faith or our philosophies, I think that's something that we seek to find the right words, I guess. Mm-hmm. And once those words are found, you find yourself in them.
Hmm. Who was it that said, preach the gospel at all times? If necessary, use words.
Oh, gosh. Hello, Google, my old friend. Francis of Assisi.
Ah, that's why I like it.
Yeah.
But I remember we had a professor who would often quote that and say, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. And I'm here to tell you that it's necessary.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So I think that kind of fits in with, you know, the air, you can't see it. The breeze, you can only feel it. The emptiness, you can fill it. But, you know, we trust that God is there and we need to talk about it. I think that's a less succinct way of saying what you're saying, a less cultured way of saying what you're saying, but that's kind of my shtick.
Yeah, you know? Oh, I worry this one is almost too serious of an episode at this point. Well, I think there's probably enough here. We could probably close it out before you all are rolling your eyes too much. We're going to ask the question on everyone's mind. Mm. The question we always look forward to. The part where Dave actually plays a big role.
The part where Dave actually does something.
Good or garbage, Dave?
So as we were doing this, my dehumidifier kicked on mm-hmm. in the other room. And I think that's giving me the metaphor that I want to use for it. Because there is water in the air all around us. And my dehumidifier is pulling that water out of the air. I don't know that it's there, like I can't feel it or anything, but then I can see it come out of the hose in my dehumidifier. And I know that it's water. I wouldn't drink it, but I know that it's water. So this poem is water from my dehumidifier.
Oh, I was hoping that you were going to say this poem is the dehumidifier.
Absolutely.
Bringing
not.
The invisible to the visual.
Absolutely not.
Well, agree to disagree, Dave. My takeaway is this is a dehumidifier for the soul. No?
Are souls particularly humid?
We're going to end this with the words of a true poet to bring us back to reality and to some sense of literary quality. This is a selection of a poem called God's Grandeur from Gerard Manley Hopkins. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil. Crushed. Why do men then now not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, have trod, have trod. And all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell, the soil.
Well, thank you for listening, and go and write your own bad poetry. You're welcome.
I thought we've gone off the rails before.
Oh, I know. That was interesting.
Rhyme free doesn't matter to me. It's my bad poetry.